You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week I will bring you guests that will inspire and educate while bringing answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. I will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and many ways to keep your family mentally, physically, and spiritually sound. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. And I'll continue to bring you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, our topic today is Answers for the 4A Epidemic. Now, the statistics are alarming. I mean, I was surprised, you know, when I was preparing to do this show and I started looking at the statistics, I realized that there's a lot going on out there that we don't realize. Now, I learned that diagnosed cases of autism, ADHD, asthma, and allergies are all increasing exponentially, especially among children. Now, if your child is struggling with any of these conditions, you already know that the search for answers can sometimes be overwhelming. Now, to talk about this and more, our guest today, Dr. Joseph Cannizzaro, has practiced pediatric functional medicine for 30 years with specialties in holistic, integrative pediatrics, nutrition, and preventable medicine. He is the founder and managing doctor for the Pediatricians Care Unit and the Accordo Health Institute in Longwood, Florida. Dr. Cannizzaro received his MD from the University of Bologna Medical School in Bologna, Italy. And as a U.S. Army captain, he served as the medical laboratory officer and cadet instructor at the United States Military Academy at West Point. Now, he recently released his book, Answers for the 4A Epidemic, which is healing for kids with autism, ADHD, asthma, and allergies, and is the co-author of Eat This and Live for Kids with Dr. Don Colbert. He actively shares his healthy living knowledge through his nutrition curriculums for schools and daycares and public speaking events. He lives in Florida with his wife and three sons. Dr. Cannizzaro, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on, Alan.
Well, I've got to tell you, it's been very, very enlightening to go to your website and to learn more about these 4A epidemics. To tell you the truth, I was somewhat surprised. I didn't realize first that there was connections to them, nor that it was increasing at the level in which it is. So I guess my first question would be, I mean, why and how did you become interested in the 4A epidemic? You know, how did you realize that this was something that was becoming an epidemic?
Well, when I realized it was imperative that these children would need to be evaluated and treated by a functional integrative physician, the decision was made to become their doc. A functional integrative physician emphasizes relationship-centered care. Integrative physicians develop an understanding of the patient's culture and beliefs to help facilitate healing. Uh-huh. It focuses on the unique characteristics of the individual person and accept that health and healing are unique to the individual and may differ for two people with the same disease. And it regards the patient as an active partner who takes personal responsibility for health. And we use natural, less invasive interventions when possible. We search for and remove barriers that may be blocking the body's innate healing response. And we focus on research and understanding of the process of health and healing and how to facilitate it. And we maintain that...
Go ahead.
Yeah, and we maintain that healing is always possible even when curing is not. And we agree that the job of the physician is to cure sometimes, heal often, and support always.
See, I think that's beautiful. I'm glad that you're sort of looking at the whole picture, because I know that there's a lot of complaints, and I'm probably one of them, that says that too often doctors, you know, when they get involved in a situation, that there seems to be, you know, two avenues to go. You either cut it out or you medicate it. And, you know, I love the fact that you were, in essence, kind of looking at it at a holistic approach that's taking into consideration the whole body and starting to look towards what is really causing these things. In other words, you know, how can we have, you know, four things at, you know, at this time in history that are increasing at these rates when supposedly our medical knowledge is such that we're supposed to be decreasing, you know, diseases that, you know, that we as humans are getting. Now, you know, these, why don't we break down the four? You know, I thought it was very interesting that, you know, obviously these four things, they all start with A, but that you can say that they are at an epidemic proportion. You know, I think people need to know a little bit more about that. So can you break them down a little bit?
Sure. The four new childhood epidemics, within the past 40 years of medical history, we began to realize that not only were rates of autism, ADHD, asthma, and allergies growing in epidemic proportions, but that they are also connected to each other at the root. Not only do they share overlapping symptoms, but they also often appear in the same individuals. Now, how are these disorders related? What is their commonality? What element unites them all? The answer is the state of the digestive system. Each 4A patient has an abnormal digestive system, which in turn impacts the immune and nervous systems, producing a familiar litany of symptoms. I can go into a case, Alan, if you'd like.
Absolutely, because I think that's one of the things that allows us as listeners to be able to really see, you know, that, you know, to take an individual case. Very possibly some of us have a child or are ourselves, you know, dealing with some of the same issues. So, yes, please do.
Sure. Billy was born 10 days after his due date after a very long labor, and he had his umbilical cord wrapped around his neck twice. This did not seem to affect him negatively, though. At home, he was a beautiful baby, always very active. All of his growth and developmental parameters were normal and on track. He was engaged with his family and communicative. As an early toddler, however, he began to have temper tantrums and became very fearful of noises, which would make him cling to his mother for long periods of time. He gradually lost interest in his toddler playgroup, though he continued to become more distant. Soon he would no longer respond to anyone calling his name, and eye contact slowly disappeared. By the time he was 3, he had sustained numerous injuries while walking, running, or climbing because he seemed to have no sense of danger. All along, his parents were reassured that the little boy's behavior was within normal range for his age, and yet he could not tell them that if he was thirsty or hungry, happy or sad, or why he was upset. It seemed that he could not convey any emotion. Also, he had bowel problems since he was 6 months old, but his mom had been told that it's normal for children to have one bowel movement per week. When Billy turned 4, his preschool teacher suggested that his mother take him for a developmental evaluation conducted by a pediatrician. Uh-huh. This caused her to begin to do some research on her own, and her studies soon revealed that a pattern of behavior similar to Billy's was typically seen in autistic children. Her fears mounted. Her Billy, who was once a healthy, happy little boy, now looked like a sad, helpless, clumsy boy who couldn't express himself verbally, who could get upset very easily, and who was losing friends faster than he could make them. Refusing to accept that nothing could be done, Billy's mother located the website at the Autism Research Institute and found a holistic, functional, integrative physician. He diagnosed Billy with autism spectrum disorder, ASD, and with severe food allergies and constipation, and he initiated a biomedical treatment. Billy started a gluten-free, casein-free, and soy-free diet, along with supplements that included probiotics, enzymes, and a whole food concentrate to help turn around his leaky gut syndrome. After 4 months, his parents could talk to Billy, he would listen. Another practitioner was enlisted, and he diagnosed oral candidiasis, or thrush, and heavy metal toxicity. His Billy's digestive, immune, and nervous systems came into balance, and his overall health improved. He gradually achieved developmental milestones in academics and social skills. Now he was able to make friends at school and interact and play with them. He had good eye contact, and his speech was clear. Remarkably, he once again enjoyed life. He was back to being a happy boy who could tell his parents what he wanted. As time went on, however, he became overly gregarious and extremely hyperactive. His mom remarked, well, it's just like he likes to do so many things. He's all over the place. He's a bundle of joy, but he can get very disruptive in a group. But then, by then, Billy was 6 and had entered kindergarten. He maintained good grades. Comments on his report cards were upsetting, however. Comments such as, despite my efforts, I cannot persuade Billy to pay attention, and he remains a constant disruption in class. He was taken back to the doctor for a full evaluation. This time the diagnosis was attention deficit disorder with hyperactivity. What could have happened? With the dietary and lifestyle measures that had brought so much healing no longer working, this prompted a systems review with laboratory studies, dietary history, and supplemental program analysis, along with a measurement of his toxic burden, which revealed that Billy and his family had lapsed back into a lifestyle marked by an inappropriate diet that was devoid of proper supplementation, along with a disregard for their exposure to toxins. I'm happy to report that once Billy's parents successfully reinstituted and maintained those lifestyle changes, nutrition, supplements, and a detox program, Billy no longer suffered from the effects of ADHD. As long as he stuck with his lifestyle improvements, he could be considered healed and healthy.
Okay, now let's...
My Billy, yeah.
Okay, so in this particular case, Billy still has autism, right?
Correct.
Okay, so Billy still has autism. Now let's take the same situation, only removing the autism, and do we still have situations? Because ADHD, you know, has become such a catchphrase that there, you know, just thousands and thousands of parents being told that their child is ADHD. If I'm to understand you correctly, just making these changes, you know, to the diet for the most part. And removing the toxins and such, it may very well be taking kids that are being diagnosed ADHD and literally making it go away. I mean, is it
correct?
Okay.
ADHD is a milder form of autism. It's damage to the central nervous system. With the leaky gut, you know, comes from toxins that get into the circulation when they shouldn't. With inflammatory situations that are going on in the gut. And of course, exposure in utero during gestation where the damage is done. But we realize now that the damage is reversible. The brain continues to grow well on into adulthood. And we're seeing remarkable turnarounds. And as we learn more and more about the toxicity, the influence on our immune system, we'll be able to cure, you know, even severe autistic children.
Wow. Now you mentioned, obviously, you know, in the title of your book that, you know, referring to this as, or all of these as epidemics. I mean, how do you define these, you know, as epidemics? What are the statistics that have brought you to that title?
Sure. Well, we're living in the midst of a colossal quadruple epidemic. The epidemic has developed insidiously over decades, and it has escalated rapidly during the past 30 years. It's really not a stretch to call this a modern epidemic, even though the symptoms can vary greatly, and even though the escalation seems to cover all the developed nations of the world. This is because this diverse population are united in what underlies their many overlapping symptoms, and they face the same health-challenging environment. We're involved in this epidemic with four faces simply because we are all exposed to the same cause. Toxicity permeates our ecosystem. The human body responds to the threat in particular ways. When you add other factors of our modern lifestyles, you get a spectrum or array of disorders that are interwoven with each other. The reason this epidemic came to light in children is because they are the most vulnerable. Although we characterize what's happening as an epidemic, the children must be the children themselves must be evaluated and treated as individuals, because each person is affected in his very own specific way. We are all different biochemically. We can see patterns and cause and effect, but many factors make each child's situation unique. Once we begin to understand where this epidemic came from, we need next to determine just where each individual fits. Only then can we pursue healing. Now, the current rates of the 4A disorders, how many children have been hit by this epidemic, it's 30 million when psychiatric conditions and the disorders in learning behavior, speech and language, sensory integration, and motor skills are included. This certainly qualifies as an epidemic. Wow. Is it an epidemic of genetic origin? Environmental changes occurring in a genetically predisposed child sound like a more plausible explanation to me. Specific triggers, I believe that environmental factors are of paramount importance. Autism has increased 6,000% in 20 years, ADHD more than 400%, asthma more than 300%, and allergies more than 400% in the same time period. Two disastrous environmental changes have caused all this to happen: overwhelming toxicity and nutrient depletion.
Wow. We have an email question coming over right now. This one reads, a friend just learned that her small child is autistic. She and her husband have been attempting to understand the condition and how to prepare for the life ahead. I have already recommended your book in hopes that it will give her answers and solutions. What are some key things they can do right away?
Utmost importance is in their particular area to look at the Institute for Functional Medicine and the American Holistic Integrative Medical Association. These two groups of doctors practice like I do, need to find a functional integrative physician. That's of paramount importance, and form what we call a partnership, a relationship with that physician. I would also recommend going on the Autism Research Institute website, and they can look for what are classified as DAN docs, Defeat Autism Now, under the Autism Research Institute. That can be found. That's the most critical thing. By doing this, also seek out parents that have cured their autistic children. And this they can get with the Autism Research at the Institute. They can find the parents. That's where the DAN movement originated, from parents who are not going to wait around 20 years for things to be approved and brought into medical practice, because physicians trained in the acute care model, the allopathic conventional medical model, are really not trained to treat this. These are the steps I would take to look at these organizations and then find the docs and then go from there.
Yeah, I think that's great. That's great advice. Now, for some of the people that just don't know, in other words, their children are responding in certain ways that they just don't understand, break down a little bit about what autism is and what it isn't. I know that there are people that will hear things and go, well, you know, what is Asperger's? Is Asperger's just mild autism? There seems to be different stages or different degrees of it. So if you can maybe dispel some of the some of the information out there that may have led people astray, and really kind of narrow it down to this is what it's really about.
Sure. Well, autism is a severe developmental disorder characterized by significant disabilities in social interaction, communication, and behavior. Autistic children range, and the word spectrum is very important here. Mm-hmm. Autistic children range from those who appear to be normal to those who cannot speak at all or make eye contact, and who engage in repeated and disturbing physical actions. This all relates to damage to the central nervous system by toxins. Autistic children can have serious social impairments, and many lack an intuitive sense about other people, misreading social cues and not being able to learn from mistakes. This seriously inhibits normal growth and development. Because autistic children can display such different symptoms, autism must be considered a spectrum disorder. Autism spectrum disorder is often referred to as ASD.
Okay, now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Children with autism, as well as those with ADHD, tend to suffer from asthma and allergies. Many also contend with other comorbid conditions such as depression, anxiety, mood disorders, bipolar disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, sleep disorders, and more.
Now, now you're saying how this is tied to toxins in the body, and to say that, I guess you're saying over 40 years, it's up 6,000%. Is that to say then that just over the generations that the parents, or in most cases the mothers, are not having the proper nutrition within them before they have the baby, or they're having too many toxins inside them? 6,000% increase just seems just incredible.
Yes, exactly. It's just that the horrific combination of increasing environmental toxicity. I think there's 6,000 new chemicals on the planet every year, and nutrient depletion. Commercially grown produce is 80% less nourishing than in 1940. And then when you add the processed food chemicals, and it just has escalated. There's a lot of talk about vaccinations and such, and I'm pro-vaccination, but what has happened in the past 60 years, too many vaccinations given too young, and they're too toxic. And the mercury is the culprit, one of the major culprits. It's no longer in major vaccines, but it's in some of the supplementary vaccines. So that's not the sole cause of autism, but it's just another toxin added to the list that the children have. The average pregnancy in the United States, there's, 278 chemicals, toxic chemicals, in the mother's circulation going into the developing brain of their baby.
Wow.
Breast milk has 170 chemicals. And many of these things are, they're in the air. After uranium, mercury is the most prevalent airborne toxin. That's why these figures are escalated so enormously.
Well, what can some of the young mothers, and I mean let's take now the teenage mothers right now that want to stack the odds in their favor, to have as healthy a child as possible. What are some of the things that they can start doing right now with their body to have the healthiest child possible in the environment that we're in?
Well, I think one of the things that we're starting here in Central Florida is we're doing preconception toxic screening. There are some wonderful laboratories that have evolved in the past 20 years. Again, functional medicine laboratories where we can analyze the toxic burden. And we certainly would want to do this preconception, because that's where everything starts. And these parents would detoxify with various procedures before conception, and then really get into healthy lifestyle living, which means you try to seek out and consume foods that are grown without chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, artificial fertilizers, In California, the closer families live to the Central Valley with commercial agriculture, the closer they live to the fields, the higher the autism rate. And as you go further from the fields, the rate of autism drops. So direct connection with what they're spraying on the, you know, on the plants. So, and the herbicides, et cetera, et cetera. So, that really the healthy lifestyle, nutrition, and that's why it's imperative to seek out these integrated functional docs, because we emphasize our practice on nutrition. Nutrition supplements and detox are tools, what mm-hmm. we use. And unfortunately, American medical school graduates, they're not taught nutrition. And we're in the process of doing something about that to help the evolution into functional medicine practice. We have a conference here at the end of September in Orlando. I'm working with the Institute for Functional Medicine. So seek out, you know, community-supported agriculture. Pay the organic farmer to grow, and then you go pick hydroponic, aeroponic growing towers. There's a number, and there's organic co-ops, and look into non-toxic cleaning solutions to clean the home, how you purify air and water, and avoid all processed food. Don't go to the center of these grocery stores, supermarkets. So there's a number of things.
Well, we are talking with Dr. Joseph Cannizzaro, and it's just amazing to me. We're finding out more about the connections, some of the connections between our allergies and autism and ADHD, and it's just amazing to me, and even from the standpoint of asthma. We're going to be right back. We're going to take a break. Please stay with us. And in fact, if you would like, open up another window for those of you at your computer. Go to drcannizzaro.com. That's drcannizzaro.com. Open up another window on your computer. Take a look at his website. Follow along with us, and we will be right back.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
And you're back with Answers for the Family. We are talking with Dr. Joseph Cannizzaro, and he has released a new book called Answers for the 4A Epidemic, Healing for Kids with Autism, ADHD, Asthma, and Allergies. Now, before we went to break, we were just talking about better ways to eat, you know, as one of the things, you know, the toxins that we're putting in our bodies. And, Doctor, I've got a question for you. For those of us who try to get our teenage children to eat better and hydrate themselves better, and have little or no success in trying to get them to move forward in that area, as an expert, what would you tell if you were talking directly to these teens to get their attention and for them to take advantage of the knowledge we have today to live a healthier and happier life?
What I like to point out to my patients in the teenage years, in middle school even, is to look at, I suggest the parents, you know, drive them around Central Florida, for instance, and look at all the number of hospital buildings And this represents tens of thousands of hospital beds. They're always filled, and over 95% of the patients there have chronic complex diseases. Now, this, of course, starts at the age of 6 years old now. Diseases that were commonplace to start over the age of 50 have come down into the pediatric years. Now, the principal agent responsible for all of these chronic complex diseases, these are all the cancers, all the heart disease, the cardiovascular disease, the neurodegenerative diseases, the Alzheimer's, the diabetes, the obesity, the principal agent is diet. If people began eating the way they should and the way our bodies were designed to nourish ourselves, we could tear down 85% of the hospitals in Central Florida. And all over our country as we speak, there are 16 and 17-year-olds dying of heart attacks. And it's all related to diet. And children, adult-onset diabetes starts at age 6, and metabolic syndrome, etc. So I point out to them that they are vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Youth is not, the way it used to be as far as the incidence of chronic complex disease, or sometimes they're referred to as degenerative diseases. 80% of 12-year-olds in the United States have coronary artery changes already, all related to diet. So I point this out to them, and the picky appetites and such, and what has happened to the hypothalamus, the hunger and satiety centers. They've all been conditioned to the toxic chemicals in processed food. And this can be reversed. As far as suggesting ways to help them turn things around is use the blender in your kitchen you can disguise the universe in the blender, but you can make the drink taste the way they may want, they may like it to taste, but hidden in there are the nutrient-dense foods that we all need.
Yeah, we have a juicer and a blender, and so that's one of the things that we do every day now. But again, it's, I know for many of us out there, and I'm as guilty as anybody. At their age, I was convinced that I was indestructible. I mean, right. I could eat anything, and I can remember older people, at the time, I thought they were older, saying, how can you eat all of that, and not get fat, or how can you eat all of that, aren't you concerned that your arteries are going to close up and stuff? And, I was young and thin and had a ton of energy and thought, that just happens to you people when you get old. That's not me. I'm indestructible. And, what I hear you saying is that's not the case. They are contributing to problems, and they are susceptible to some of the same problems that anybody of any other age can have. Is that right?
Sure, definitely. And the foods are caloric and calorically dense and nutrient poor, and so they can keep going, because they're energy and calorically dense but nutrient poor. But after a while, the body can no longer compensate with the lack of these essential nutrients that are critical for health. And I stress it to the athletes and the all these folks, the dancers, how critically important, and we get across when they see improved performance, et cetera, when they get into nutrition.
Now, how do we learn to read labels? In this day and age, you go into the store and half the stuff there says that we're now health food. This is now health conscious. They got a little picture of a heart. This is good for your heart. This is good for your digestion. This has plenty of fiber. They put fiber in the name so that, how do we read labels and not get get taken advantage of, you know, by this marketing machine that seems to tell us that we realize that we were giving you crap before, and now we've changed certain things, and it's somehow better for you.
Well, you know, the fat-free, cholesterol-free, low-calorie, sugar-free, all of these fads that went on have increased morbidity and mortality, which is suffering and premature death because of the chemicals that were added into those foods. And they really played on people's desires to either lose weight or, but it was all, it was all a facade. It really just compounded the problems. Biggest thing is to go natural. If it has more than three ingredients on the label, don't even buy it. The plate should be 80% land and sea vegetables and 10% animal protein and the remaining 10% starchy vegetables. The American diet is way top heavy in grain. Uh-huh. You know, in the last 10,000 years, our genome has been trying to adapt to animal husbandry and agriculture. You know, grains are healthy, but they're way, way overemphasized, and they cause a lot of problems. Diabetes is probably number one, but so to de-emphasize grain and get into the more nutrient-dense foods. I tell parents the most nutritious form of any vegetable is a sprouted grain, sprouted seed, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And put sprouts in the, you can do your own sprouting, or buy them in those little plastic boxes and put them in the smoothies. And of course, they don't have hardly any taste, and the kids don't know they're there. So it's to increase the nutrient density. Children, you know, as they get into toddlerhood, they only gain 2 pounds a year, and they don't want bulk. And I recommend they graze and feed themselves six times a day when the signals come. And kids know what they need, and they'll. But boy, if we mess up their chemistry and their brain with the chemicals, that throws everything off.
Now, one of the things, when you started mentioning about the sprouts and different things like that, we've added in quinoa. Tell me about quinoa, and is it as good as what they seem to be advertising it to be?
It's a good grain. Buckwheat, millet, amaranth, quinoa. What has happened with the global toxicity? Our immune systems have become hyper. We are much more likely, a baby that's born today has had 1,000 times greater chance of developing allergies. And when the immune system is hyper, it's overstimulated, it's what we call dysregulated. So we react to these foods, and autoimmune diseases are going through the roof because of that. And you just can have so many allergies for so many years that eventually you can develop an autoimmune problem, but a disease. When you have foods that are very allergenic, like the gliadin or gluten protein in grain in wheat, and the casein protein in cow's milk, these are some of the first foods that someone will react to, So we emphasize going to the non-gluten grains, so the chances of being sensitized and developing, just getting that allergy chain reactions to start is by going to the non-gluten grains, because they're less allergenic.
Okay,
that's the reason for that. And you want the good brand names, the good stores like Whole Foods, etc. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Now, as you go into allergies, and we... you're talking a little bit about allergies, and we have an instant message coming across that says, as you mentioned allergies, my daughter, age 15, has very severe food allergies that are worsening each year. She cannot drink orange juice, eat peanuts, wheat, or soy. And in parentheses, the big ones, as almost everything has gluten or soy in it, end of parentheses. And the list goes on. I'm now planning on buying your book in hopes that it will provide some hope that she may someday be able to live a normal life. Can you please comment on this? Thank you, Carrie from Oklahoma.
A couple of things to remember. Everything starts in the gut. There's a thing called the gut brain. It's the second brain. There's more nervous tissue in the gut than the whole peripheral nervous system. Everything is reversible. Regardless of the age of the individual. What's important with this patient, in my opinion, would be to, again, through a functional integrative doc, where we use what I mentioned before, a functional medicine laboratory. That's what's critical. There's one in Kansas called the Great Plains Laboratory. There's a number of them, Doctors Data. The doc, if they get to a functional doc, he will order the battery of tests that these functional labs do and give a very, very thorough picture of all the sensitivities. And then the lab will design an elimination diet, and the patient will become desensitized. And they'll have the list of substitution foods and how the immune system can become more regulated. And because the patient has leaky gut syndrome, she's got inflammation going on in the gut. The gut wall opens when it shouldn't, and toxins get into the circulation and cause symptoms. In any system. This is completely reversible. Given the right analysis and then the treatment of diet, supplements, and detox. Detoxification is critical. Children can't detoxify as efficiently as we can because it's a very, very energy-consuming process. We expend the most energy every day detoxifying, and children need so much more of that energy to grow. They don't detoxify as well as we do. We need to help them. So this is all reversible completely. That she would lead a life, and she would end up with. And it's good to an orientation for these kids is to go through stores like Whole Foods that have all kinds of foods that are you could call them hypoallergenic. Mm-hmm. They're much less, and they taste good. They taste very good, and you really, really can't tell the difference. And with repeated sampling, people can. One of the hardest things for people to do is to change the way they eat, but it can be done. It's kind of in a scientific way with gradually sampling every day, and using that blender. One of the best ways is to get it in liquid form first before you have to. These kids have to be expected to look at it and chew it, et cetera. Put it in and mix it in with others and adjust the taste to their liking.
Well, it sounds good. You mentioned Whole Foods, and fortunately we're here in Southern California. We have quite a few. There's Whole Foods is around. There's also we have Mother's Market, which is very similar as well. At the same time, they need to bring in, make sure that they're having plenty of exercise, things that are keeping the body working down in that area so that, so that you're not so sedentary that you're not getting rid of the toxins. Would that be another important issue?
Exactly. Sweating is detoxifying. Rebounding on trampolines is very detoxifying, by the way. And of course the foods, the good high fiber vegetables, the greens and such are detoxifying foods. Epsom salt baths I recommend for all my patients. That's a terrific detoxifier. Adding Epsom salt, it's soaking, cover 90% of the body, soak for 15 minutes. That's a very good method, for detoxification.
Great. Now, we haven't talked much about it, and we've only got about 5 minutes, but let's talk a little bit about asthma. Asthma, when I was a kid, seemed like it was something that was on its way out, And yet now it sounds like it is something that is growing by leaps and bounds.
Correct. And it's mainly the hypersensitivity of the lungs. It's a lot more likely for children to develop reactive airways. It's really reactive airway disease. And the triggers, there's antecedents and there's triggers and there's mediators. Really anything on the planet can cause inflammation of the airways. The allergies or the microorganisms, the viruses, the most common cause of the asthma attacks under the age of six are viral infections. And when we augment the immune system of children to deal with the many viruses that they're exposed to, their immature immune system, but we augment their immunity with diet and supplements, the asthma attacks plummet under the age of six because we've eliminated one of the major triggers, and that's viral infections in that age group. And with the increase in allergies, the allergies will manifest in the airways and with the bronchospasm, the tightening of those muscles of the bronchial tube, and then inflammation of the mucous membrane, which causes increased secretion and the typical asthmatic that finds it hard to exchange air, to breathe. And that's why the toxicity and the allergens and all that we've been talking about manifests in the lungs, because the lungs right there, the aerosol, the contaminants and all these things I'm talking about that are in the air, the pollens, etc., the mold spores, is the reason the airways become reactive. And here we need pharmaceuticals in many instances, especially with an acute asthma attack. It can be life-threatening. But with an increase in, what I was talking about earlier about healthy lifestyle living, and removing some of these triggers, the toxins and the cleaning products what you purify the air, how you purify air, and the quality of the water, we'll reduce the triggers and reduce the incidence of the asthma attacks.
You just mentioned water, and again, we just have a couple of minutes, but I know that's a component. In this household, we drink a 9.5 alkaline level. How important is that from the standpoint of knowing the alkaline level versus the acidicity to the water that we're drinking?
There's been a lot of study in the alkalinizers. A lot of my colleagues and a lot of my mentors, they don't really put a huge emphasis on it, because when we bring things into balance, with our diet, there's a beautiful book called The pH Miracle. The author's name escapes me. And there's really great lists of foods and you can compare the columns of these foods where you try not to emphasize foods that will end up dropping the pH of the body. We need our body's pH to be slightly alkaline all the time, and of course vegetables are number one to keep it that way. But the water is critical. We need to drink half to two-thirds of our weight in ounces a day. The alkalinizers are good, and as you bring other things into balance with anti-inflammatory foods and foods to help detoxify, it still remains a help. It's not imperative, though, as I said, as you bring other things into balance. It's good to get to know the foods that will help keep that pH slightly alkaline and not overemphasize the foods that could lead to an acidic environment, which is abnormal.
Right. And in fact, one of the things that I heard from a doctor that does cancer research that said that, the bottom line is that cancer cannot live in an alkaline environment. Cancer lives in an acidic environment.
Exactly.
So if you want to, you know, control the percentages of you getting cancer, keep your body at a higher alkaline level. So,
exactly.
You know, Dr. Cannizzaro, thank you so much for coming on. You have provided us with so much incredibly good information. Now, if we could just get everybody to follow suit, it would be great. And again, for everybody out there, the book is Answers for the 4A Epidemic, Healing for Kids with Autism, ADHD, Asthma, and Allergies. The website, drcannizzaro.com, that's drcannizzaro.com. Check it out. He has a lot of recommended products on there. There's a lot of things that you can check out just by going to the website. Doctor, you've been so helpful. Keep up the good work. Thank you for coming on. And again, for anybody out there, if you're driving and you're not able to write any of that down, go to our site at Answers, the numeral 4, thefamilyblog.com. We will have all of Dr. Cannizzaro as well as all of our guests' information will be on our site. So, Doctor, again, thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much, Alan. It was a pleasure.
You're very welcome. And for everybody out there, please be with us next week at Answers for the Family. Thank you.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza right here on LA Talk Radio.